Good morning. It's good to see each and every one who has come out this morning and assemble ourselves together to study God's Word. This morning, for a brief time, we're going to speak on the subject of the shining light. And before I begin, I'd like to point out that this is probably something that I put together more for myself than anyone else. One of my favorite lines from a song comes from the musician Don Henley. And the line goes, "The more I know, the less I understand. The things I thought I figured out, I'm learning again." And so it's important for us, I think, to examine ourselves from time to time and realize that there's some things that we need to consider. And certainly this is something, like I say, that is more pointed at me than anyone else. So what we're going to talk about is the shining light and how we are to be lights unto the world, not only to those around us, but to the world in particular, but this morning we're going to focus mainly on how we are to be examples and lights within our own homes and how our home life should reflect our Christianity. Our text this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. "Ye are the lights of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This morning, for a brief time, I'd like to focus on the phrase from this scripture, "It giveth light unto all that are in the house." And we're going to discuss the family for a brief time and the kind of Christians that we need to be and the influence that we need to be not only to the world but to those around us and those that are closest to us. Because sometimes we find that these are the things that slip by us from time to time, and we're going to focus on that and look at that for a short time this morning. But before we do, we want to go to God in prayer, remembering all of those in our prayers that were mentioned in the announcements. We know that there are many, both in this congregation and throughout the brotherhood, that need our prayers. And won't you each humble yourselves in some manner and turn your attention to the one that's been selected to lead us in a word of prayer. Many times when Jesus was confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees, those of the Jewish faith who were against the things that Jesus was teaching, he called them hypocrites. This is a word that means, in that day, reflected someone who was an actor or someone who pretended to be something that they were not. And the problem that Jesus had with these people was they tried to put on a face like they were, one of the phrases we use today is holier than thou. They tried to put on a face in public, and they wore a different face in private or in their dealings with other people, as he accused them of stealing widows' houses and things of this nature. So we know as Christians that we're to be the same regardless of where we are or what we're doing. It may seem kind of silly when you think about it, but sometimes I have to remind myself of the song that's sung around the holidays about the fictional character of Santa Claus, when it says he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good. And God is the same way. He sees us wherever we are and regardless of what we're doing. And as the brother brought out in his prayer, self-examination is one of the tools that God has given us and one of the things that I think we really need to use and understand in order to become better Christians. And we have to be honest with ourselves and examine ourselves and make sure that we're doing the things that God would have us to do. In our text, we saw that Jesus described our Christian attitude as a light that emanates from us. A light is something that should attract people, especially in the days in the early church in which the scripture was written. We realized there was no such thing as batteries or electricity, and the only light that man had was during the day, of course, was the sunlight, and at night was either the reflection of the moon or candles and the crude oil lamps that they had. And so if you were out at night and it was a cloudy night and the stars and the moon were not evident, a light was something that you would desperately seek after because you had no other way to see where you were going or what kind of perils you were being surrounded by. And that's the way that we should look at ourselves. We're lights in a lost and dying world. We should be a reflection to people of something that they can be attracted to and to cling on to, and to realize that if we want to have an everlasting home in heaven, that we need to have to do the things that God requires of us. As we mentioned, we're going to focus on the point that Jesus made about the phrase, "It giveth light unto all that are in the house." And we realize that nowhere should our good example have more influence but in our homes. And this is as to be a reflection on our spouses, on our children, on our parents, as we see the world today, as we know culture and life and environment is always evolving. And we're beginning to see, and I'm afraid in the future we're going to see it even more, people who are getting older and no longer can care for themselves and don't have the insurance or the money to go to retirement communities or things of this nature. We see more and more where parents are moving back in with their children, and the children are falling under the obligation that obviously they had in the days of the early church, was when the parents could no longer care for themselves, the children took them in and cared for them. And then again, this is one of the things that Jesus had against the Jews, was that they weren't doing these types of things. And in our society today, we see that we're coming back around to that, and we begin to see more and more families where you have multiple generations living in the same home. And of course, this as Christians, this can be a good thing, because the older can influence the younger, and the younger help keep a vitality going. And we realize that that children should rightfully be looked on as the future, and especially in the church, when we come to a congregation like we're so fortunate here to have so many children, and you realize that there's a future there, that these children are coming up, and one day those of us who are gaining in years, and when we can no longer carry the load of perpetuating God's cause and kingdom here in this community, that there are those coming up behind us that can take over. Because we know that there are places in the brotherhood, there are congregations where they don't have that. Maybe the youngest member is in their 40s. And that can be a very sad situation, so we're very fortunate. And as such, we have to make sure that we're cultivating a climate that is conducive to influencing these children and to carry on the work of the church. We often see that people seem to have the opinion that the home is a place where you go to let your hair down. Being at home gives us the opportunity to be ourselves. Many times, this is something that's harder for me to relate to. Working at home, I don't have to go out and deal with people on a daily basis like if I had a job working for someone else. And we realize sometimes you have to wear a different face, so to speak, in a job. Sometimes you have to do things that we would normally otherwise do, not things that are bad, but we just have to have a different attitude about things. And when we go home, it's a place where we can kind of go and let our hair down and relax. And we have to realize that as Christians, we have an important responsibility, especially at home, to be that same light and example, as the text pointed out, to those around us. I'd like now to read from Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. As Paul writes to the church at Colossae here, we see and we understand and realize that at the end of this life we're going to receive a reward. If we desire to be a Christian and we do the things that are necessary towards eternal life on the day of judgment, if Jesus sees that we've been that we fulfilled that task, we're going to have a home in heaven. If not, As Paul writes here in the 25th verse, we're going to receive, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. We're going to receive a reward for that as well. And it also mentions here there's no respect of persons. That means everybody's going to fall into the same judgment, regardless of who they are, how they've lived, If we're all going to be judged according to the Scriptures. And he encourages this congregation as he writes to them to be in unity, especially within the family. And he talks about those relationships and how we are to relate to one another, and we're to do all things unto God. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men-pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that soever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respecter of persons with him. In this scripture we see that guided by the Holy Spirit, Paul felt so strongly about these ideas that he included them in two different epistles. We realize in the study of the early church that these epistles were letters that were written to different congregations, and they were meant to be shared and to be passed around so that everyone that could get access to them could gain from the wisdom that was being passed around and the things that were being taught. We know that the home is the base for most of our functions in this physical life. Regardless of what we do, we usually return home at the end of the day or at the end of the week if we have to travel for business and things of this nature. And again, it's very vital for us to realize that as Christians, our faith needs to be reflected there as well as wherever we go and whatever we do. Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thy own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. This scripture refers to a man whom Jesus encountered who was possessed by several demons. When Jesus asked the demon who he was, he said, Legion. And this meant that there were many demons within the man. And we know that the demons recognized Jesus, and they asked not to be cast into the water. So he cast the demons into the swine, and they left the man. And the swine ran off a cliff into the water and drowned. And this man was very thankful for what Jesus had done to him. At various times in the Gospels, we see where Jesus heals people, and sometimes they're so excited about what he's done for them, they run away and don't even thank him. But in this situation, this man was so thankful for what Jesus had done to him that he wanted to follow Jesus and be one of his disciples. And Jesus said that he wanted the man to go home and tell the people there in the city where he lived what he had done for him. And obviously this was a way for this man to spread the things that Jesus was doing. These people were very familiar with this man and what his problems had been. They were exposed to, they were afraid of him because the violent outburst that he had. But yet now he was cured and he could go about and show forth the things that Jesus had done for him. So Jesus felt it was important for this man to go home instead of following after him, and to better spread his word there. And of course, we can make a whole lesson out of that idea alone. We're going to continue on with Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Sometimes when we find ourselves at home, we're relaxed, we're not in public. Sometimes we may find ourselves saying things we really shouldn't be saying. And Paul encourages here that our speech should always be with grace. This means regardless of where we are or what we're doing, we always should have the same idea again, the idea that God is always watching us. He's always aware of what we're doing. And as such, we need to be sure that we're keeping ourselves in check, so to speak, that we're doing the things that he would have us to do. At home is where we should and do feel the safest. But if we're not careful, it can also be the place where we are vulnerable or weak. And again, these were the things where Sometimes we can find ourselves letting our hair down, so to speak, like we mentioned before. And if this is an attitude that we begin to carry into our life outside the home, again, it can be a bad reflection, and our light won't shine the way it's supposed to. And this is something, again, that self-examination helps us to have self-control, as Paul wrote, that he was always seeking to keep himself into subjection and under self-control to do the things that God would have him to do. 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that over outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. As Peter writes here, it's obvious to see that unity and a common goal of going to heaven should make us good examples to one another, and especially as parents to our children. This is something that he's not. There are those who may try to make this sound like the wives are supposed to be more or less like a servant and be under subjection to their husband and do whatever they're told. But we realize the attitude with which this is written and the attitude that we're to take it is that we're to appreciate one another and love one another and do the things that God would have us to do. And as we said, work towards a common goal of going to heaven. And this is not to say that disagreements aren't going to happen. This is life. And we understand that and we realize that things aren't always smooth sailing. But when we deal with them in the manner in which God anticipates that we'll do, we can overcome these things. And it's important for us to remember that. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Our conduct and behavior, both in public and private, should reflect a Christian attitude. As Christians, we have an obligation to God to be good examples to other people, especially to other Christians, because the idea that's reflected, these ideas that are reflected in the family should be reflected And each individual group of Christians, or as we call them, congregations, should be. We should look at that as a family also. And we realize some of the things that Paul is pointing out as he writes to Titus here, talking about the older women being examples to the younger ones and teaching them the things that they should do, and the young men being accepting the guidance of the older. And this all works hand in hand. And again, he's trying to point out to us that by working together and being good examples to one another, we can all achieve the common goal of going to heaven. That's why we're all here. That should be why we're here, is because we desire to do the things that God would have us to do. His word has told us to assemble on the first day of the week, and that's why we come out here and we study the scriptures, to learn more of the things that we can do and become stronger in the spirit, that we can achieve that goal. And if we work towards that goal together, it's going to be a lot easier than if we try to go out and do it on our own. And that's why it's so important for us to be lights to the world and lights to each other and examples to each other, that we all can grow. Because I think all of us can admit that there's always room for growth somewhere. And the scriptures are written in a way that no matter how long and how hard you study them, you're going to find things in there you didn't realize before. You're going to find new ways of having a deeper understanding of the things that the scriptures teach. And I honestly believe that God, through the Holy Spirit and the inspired writings, designed it that way so that you could never get everything there was out of it, and it, because it would cause within you a zeal and a desire to try to learn that. And it's kind of a cycle. And if we look at it like that and we try to help one another to grow and to learn, we all benefit. And that's the idea. And unity is a big thing if you look at it, that the scriptures try to teach us, a unity within the family and, of course, unity within the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falleth in the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he falleth into reproach in the snare of the devil. As Paul is writing to Timothy here, he's giving him the description, or the qualifications, as it's been called, but one in the church who desires the office of a bishop. And I would put it to you that this should be the desire of anyone who wants to be a Christian to do these things, because these are all things that reflect a good Christian behavior, and one that certainly we all should realize that if we want to become a Christian and we want to continue to be a good Christian, these are the kind of traits that we have to have. We have to do these things. Just because we're baptized, when we come up out of the water of baptism, doesn't mean we're automatically going to go to heaven. We have work to do. Of course, if our life is taken from us right away, we realize that all of our sins have been washed away, and on judgment day that Jesus would find us worthy of going to heaven. But if we come up out of baptism, that's a first step. That's not the end. It's not a guarantee that we're going to achieve a home in heaven. We have to begin to work. And that's what Paul is describing as he writes to Timothy here, the work that's involved in this particular situation. He's talking about the work involved in being a leader of the church, but it really, all the things that are reflected there are the things that it should be reflected in one who desires to be a good Christian. We're going to continue to read from the scripture, picking up with verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also be proved, first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Again, as Paul goes on to describe to Timothy here, the office of a deacon, the same kind of thing applies. This should be the things that we should desire to do to be a good Christian. They're all things that the Bible teaches us are right in the sight of God. They're all things that would cause us to be a good example to others within the church and to be a light to the community, as he said. We're to be the lights. And as Jesus said in the text, you don't put a light under a basket to hide it. You put it up where everybody can see it and where people can benefit from the light that is being given off. And in this illustration, our light certainly should be a benefit to those that we encounter outside the church to be a good influence and a good example and to draw them under the church and to hopefully cause them to seek out the truth as well. The final scripture that we're going to read this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an adulterer hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As Paul writes to the church of Ephesus here, we see he talks about things that we need to avoid and things that we need to do in order to be good examples to ourselves and to other people and good examples to the world, and how we're not to follow after the things that the world does, but we're to submit ourselves to the will of God, to study the Scriptures, to see the things that it would have us to do and the things that it would have us to avoid and to live accordingly. And if we do those things, we realize that on the day of judgment that Jesus is going to judge us by the way that we've lived our lives, the things that we've done, the things that we've refused to do, whether they be good or evil, and the attitude with which we did those things. And this is what's going to determine whether we have an everlasting home in heaven or not. And it's certainly something that I think we need to think about. We need to examine ourselves and make sure that our lives are in keeping with the things that God would have us to do. That brings us to the conclusion of this study. As always, we offer the services of the church to those who have not become a Christian. We know that the steps that we need to take in order to begin that life are to repent of the light, believe the things that we've heard or read and studied, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to repent of the life that we've lived prior to that accepting of Jesus, to confess that we believe in Jesus before men, and of course to be baptized, to be totally submersed in water for the remission of our sins. We also know that if we have done those things and we've fallen short and we've done things that are contrary to the will of God, we know that in the book of James he writes that if we confess our sins one to another and pray one for another, that we can be healed, that we can be forgiven of those things, that they're held against us no more, and we can continue to march forward through life in an effort to obtain that home in heaven that we all desire. If any need the services of the church, won't you come while we stand and sing?